Go to God in a word of prayer. Father, use the service today. Use your word we're about to talk about to grow us in faith, to help us be attached to you and to your Son, and to grow and to produce fruit through that relationship. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, today we're going to talk about gardening. I'm probably not qualified to teach a master gardener class. I have a friend who is an ag agent, and he does teach those classes to gardeners. He's part of the reason that I'm involved in what I'm in now. I'll talk about in a little bit and what I'm growing. But today, we in our gospel, we see where Jesus says, "I am the true vine." Well, that was his seventh I am statement. And I got to look at my notes here just to read all of them. But he said, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the light." And then he said, "I am the true vine." He said this, "I am the true vine." Most people believe it was at the supper with the disciples. What I read was many experts think that it was probably maybe after they did communion. When he took the fruit of the vine and they drank it, he may have told them this little parable then. "I am the true vine." It also could have been as they were walking to the garden that night, maybe they passed some vines or some grapevines. In the Bible, the vine really is talking about grapevines. The Old Testament, which we read in the Psalm, God planted Israel as the vine. So in the Old Testament, you'll see the vine, and that's talking about Israel. Of course, we also know God at one point said, "I planted the vine. The vine grew. When I went to harvest it, all I got was wild grapes." So he was kind of condemning Israel that they didn't grow as he wanted them to. Then we go to the New Testament, and Jesus comes, and he says, "I am the true vine." Why don't we put up John? We'll go through the verses. So it says, I'll let him get up here. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." Well, the vine dresser is the gardener. The gardener is in charge of the garden. Go ahead. "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he," the gardener, God, the vine dresser, "takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. I think most of us here believe we're bearing fruit for the vine dresser, for God. I hope I am. It's important to me. I pray about it. I ask God to use me for his glory and his kingdom. But what does it say? Every branch that does bear fruit needs what? Pruning. So, even me, all of you, pastor over there, God needs to prune us. We can't just grow on our own and just grow wildly, however we want to grow, whatever direction we want to go. Every branch that does bear fruit, his own children, his Christian children, he has to prune. Why? That it may bear more fruit, and the fruit that the gardener wants it to bear, not the fruit that we think we should bear. Go ahead. Jesus says, "Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." Go to the next one. But then he says, "Abide in me. Abide in me. Be attached to Jesus. He's the vine. We're just the branch. God's the gardener. God has planted Jesus as the vine for us to attach to, for us to grow out of. Because Jesus says, abide in me and make sure that I'm in you. Make sure that relationship is tight. Work at it. We can't just say come to church once a week and then go live our life the rest of the week how we want, grow the way we want, go the way we want. God has to prune us, and we have to work at being attached to the vine and make sure the vine is in us. He says, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, we can't do it on our own unless it abides in the vine. Neither can we as Christians unless we abide in Jesus. Go ahead. Again, he says, I am the vine. Jesus is. We, you, all of us here, are just the branches. We're not the vine. We are the branches off the vine. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. He's telling us, abide in me, be attached to me, live for me, and you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, we know that's not true. Look at the world. It's doing all kinds of things. But not for the gardener, not for the master gardener, for the other gardener, the one who's prowling around. The world does a lot. I mean, we can do a lot. We can do we can do what we want. We can be greedy. We can work at making more money. We can have more stuff. We can become addicted. We can do all kinds of things. But none of that bears fruit. He's talking about, apart from you can do nothing, that nothing spiritual, nothing that's going to have spiritual fruit, that's going to produce the fruit that God wants to be produced. Go ahead. Now, we've talked about, Pastor talked about the end times last Sunday, and about we don't know the day or the hour. If anyone does not abide in me, in the vine, in Jesus, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. In the Jewish culture and in the Bible, when you see fire and burning, it's talking about the final judgment. It's talking about the rapture. It's talking about the end of the world as we know it. We're now being judged. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers. And they are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. But in this world, we can be gathered right now if we fall away from the vine. There's lots of men in the world, people in the world, that want to gather us for the other side and use us. So we have to always be alert, aware, make sure we're attached to the vine, or we're being pruned by the master gardener, so that we're not thrown away and gathered and thrown into the fire. What I'm involved in is growing giant pumpkins. It's my first year. This book, my son Nate gave me this book, and it says on the front of the book, the passionate, heartbreaking, and glorious quest to grow the biggest pumpkin ever. And I thought, couldn't we just say the passionate, sometimes heartbreaking, people that we love don't know Jesus, and glorious quest to grow the biggest faith ever. Now, it's not a contest. I'm not trying to beat Ron in my faith or anybody else here in my faith. I think that every one of us is on a personal journey with God and with Jesus. But shouldn't we be striving to grow our faith as big as a giant pumpkin? And I mean, they're as big as Volkswagens. I mean, the world record is 2,600 pounds. I just happen to know that. My goal is to try to be competitive and over at the Grandtoberfest this year, and I'm trying to get a 300-pounder. I'm pretty worried about it. Vicky laughs, says she thinks I'm borderline crazy, but it's important. The back of the book, I love this quote in the back. Backyard Giants is a portrait of obsession, disturbing, and wondrous. I think sometimes it's more disturbing, but again, shouldn't that be our faith? A portrait of obsession, to be attached to the vine, to abide in Jesus, to bear fruit for the master gardener? And wouldn't that be wondrous if the whole world did that? I mean, I just think it'd be amazing if the whole world did that. Now, I'm the vine dresser when I go out to my garden, which is every day, sometimes more than once. And I decide what vine is producing fruit, what vine is working for the whole, what vine isn't. And I make mistakes. But our master gardener doesn't make mistakes. When I look at my plant, I can't always tell where one vine stops and another one starts. Because they're everywhere. I mean, they're crisscrossing and they got big leaves, big leaves like this over them, and so I'm kind of going through the leaves, and this is my tool for pruning right here mainly. So I'm going through the leaves, and I'm cutting up vines. I cut on one of my pumpkins. I cut the main vine. I didn't know I did. I thought, well, that's not. So I mean, it's hard. But our master gardener, he knows everything about us. He sees everything about us. There's no doubt in his mind about what vine needs to be pruned or cut or shaped. I also shape my vine. Some of my vines start going wild, so I just gently take the end of the vine and I just turn it a little bit. And then it grows the way I want it to. That's what he wants to do. He wants to grow us his direction, on his path. I have some vines, now they're gone, where the main plant grew up, and then it all went this way, and I trained it. I got my vines I wanted. And then some vines said, well, I don't need that. I'm going to go this way. And it just grew out the opposite way. It started making its own flowers. It was going to make its own fruit. I said, no way. You're not working for me, the gardener. You're working on your own. So it's, and I'll show you a picture later. It's a huge pile of them. When they dry, they're going in the fire. So that's what he's trying to tell us. And he's using this as a parable, Jesus is, because he knows, especially in his day and time, that everybody had a farm and grow things, but most of us have gardens. We have some kind of a plant that has vines. And we know we train them to go up trellises. We train them to grow the way we want, to stay in the air we want. That's so important that we do that, in ourselves. He's the master gardener, and we have to accept that. I was at a worship service last night, and they were playing a song by Brett Stanville. And the words in the song, one of the verses, it said, "Forever I'm changed. I'll never be the same because of your love, because of you, Jesus." And it was a moment for me. The Holy Spirit filled me, and I thought, wow, that's me. I can look back several years, and I was a vine that was, I was kind of attached. I was a branch kind of attached to the vine, but I was going my own way. I didn't really believe all of this. I wanted to be a good person, but, if I go this way and the rest of the plant's going this way, it'll be all right. But it's not. And I thank God that he moved in me and that I asked him and his son, the vine, to prune me, to guide me, to shape me, to get me back in with the plant, to produce fruit for him, not for myself. So forever I'm changed. I'll never be the same because of him and because of the vine. And that's wonderful. But I have to be on guard, because sometimes in certain situations, I can see me coming up, my old self coming up. And that's when I know that I need God's pruning. I have to want his pruning. If I'm not open to it, he's not going to force it on me. But if I feel that and I say, God, I need you to help me, he will prune us. He will gently turn us like that pumpkin vine and get us going the right way. We have to admit that we need pruning. Are we too proud to admit it? Do we say, I'm a good person, I'm better than him or her over there? Certainly, God's looking at me and say, well, he or she's pretty good because look at those people over there. I mean, I'm in church on Sunday. I try to be good during the week. I don't need any pruning. I'm as good as I'm going to be, and God's got to accept me the way I am. Or do we say, oh, man, I'm a weak person. I'm sorry I said this. I'm sorry I did that. I'm sorry I thought that. God, prune me. Prune me. Cut me back. I'm growing out of control. I want to grow for you, not for the world and not for myself. And we have to be attached to the vine, Jesus. Do we know Jesus? Do we accept him? Do we believe what we read in here? From this cover to this cover. Do we believe that Jesus is the true vine? Or do we think, well, you know, it's nice, and I mean, it's some good points in here, and you know, a lot of it makes sense, and I like to live by some of these, you know, some of these ideas, but it can't possibly from here to here be true. I mean, really? You know, or no. We have to be attached and be a branch growing off the vine. Abide in me, and I in you. Not over here. Abide in me, and I in you. Does Jesus live right here in your heart? Is he number one? Is he number two, number three, number 20? We really, really need to take this at heart. To live for God, to be attached to Jesus, and to want to produce fruit for him, and to work at it every day, every minute, and to say, God, grow me, and when I need it, prune me. I want to show some pictures of my pumpkin patch. Go ahead and bring those up. It's amazing how, Pastor said this morning, how God uses what we experience in our life to teach us more about what's in here, how it just parallels. That one doesn't. Go to the next one. There. There's the master gardener, my grandson Caden. We planted a little plant. I mean, it was little, and we watered it. Whenever the grandkids come over, they all water their plants. Go ahead to the next one. That's just the leaves. Go ahead. Oh, there was more. But, all right. Yeah, there was one of the pile of vines. There was one of some of the fruit that didn't make the cut. The fruit tried to grow, but it didn't produce. Either it was too small, split open, wasn't in the right spot. So that got cut off. And then there's some of the pumpkins now, which my biggest pumpkin now is probably about like that. We just put them on wooden, there's a lot of care. Put them on wooden pellets, have sunshades over them, fertilizing them a couple times a week, watering them 20, 25 gallons. But, you know, that's what God does for us. I mean, that's what he does for us. God is constantly trying to water us and trying to grow us and trying to fill us with his word and his Holy Spirit. And, I mean, his Holy Spirit is really the way he prunes, too, is through the Holy Spirit. When you feel convicted, when you know, okay, there's the vines. And you know, now the pile's twice as big just in a week. But there is some of the fruit that just didn't grow. I mean, some of it never grew. It just stayed little. It just didn't get filled from the main vine. Go ahead. And there are some of the pumpkins now. You can see the leaves kind of shade them too. Go ahead. There they are on the wooden pellet. Now they have sunshade. Well, actually, that one has sunshade over it. Go ahead. Another one of them. I have eight of them planted for the eight grandchildren. Next year it'll be 11. Okay, that's it. So I'm already planning for next year. But I think God is planning for next year too, or for tomorrow, for each one of us, you know. And he's got a great plan for all of us. If we just, again, will abide in the vine, be attached to Jesus, and accept that God is the master gardener and we are nothing but the branches. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, keep us humble. Keep us open and aware that we are the branches. You are the vine dresser. We are the branches. Jesus is the vine. That you are the Father, that we are the children. Help us to always invite you into our lives, to allow you to work in us and through us. Help us to stay attached to the vine, to Jesus, in good times and bad. Keep him and you as our main priority, that we can grow and produce wondrous, glorious spiritual fruit for you and your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.